Welcome to the New Beginnings Community Church Podcast. Here at NBCC, we welcome the imperfect, flawed, and broken, as much as the healing and thriving, because we are all God's children. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How are we doing?
Good.
Oh, you guys look like well-rested. Everybody got a good 8 hours. Good job, everybody. Well, at least you look it, so you're a good faker. If you didn't, Pastor Jim wanted me just to let you know this, that he is on vacation for the next few weeks, and I would like you guys to be praying for him as this week kind of continues on. He really needs this rest, and we'd love for him to have it. And so he would never tell you that he needs this rest, but I can just, you can see it. Like, hey, man, like, it's good just to get away, rejuvenate. And so he's with his wife and a few friends. So we're going to take some time to pray for him right now. But he also wanted me to let you know that there is no Tuesday night Bible study for the next few Tuesdays. And so if you show up, God bless you, but he will not be here. He'll be on a cruise. So can we pray for him right now for our lead pastor? Father, we thank you so much for Pastor Jim. We thank you for what he's done for all of us, God, just being a pastor and a teacher for us. We pray that you would give him and Olivia, God, just a great time of relaxation, of rest. He comes back rejuvenated and ready just to keep on trucking. In your name we pray, amen. All right, but you got me for the next few weeks, all right? So I'm really sorry, but just kind of show up, just kind of act like it's okay, just smile at me, you know, just like every good Christian. So a few things that I just wanted to show you. I don't know if anybody else is like me, but I like to keep like little trinkets, like little things. Like if I go on a trip, I like to grab something and keep it as a memory. Is anybody else like that? Like you kind of keep like little memories, little memorial stones. Is anybody here keep their kids' teeth? You don't have to raise your hand. Oh, some of you do. Okay. I always thought that was weird, but that's okay. I'm glad that you raised your hand. I never did that, but I do have like little trinkets, or little things that I keep just from trips and stuff like that. And so the first one I want to show you, this is a rook from a chess set with a Romanian flag pin on it. And this is something that I got for our youth group when I did my very first overseas mission trip, like the first time I ever had to take people on a plane. And like, and if you've ever tried to corral 15 teenagers like onto a plane and then you got to get off at Heathrow and then go to another plane, like there is no, I needed the Got Stress series at that time, all right? Because it is like, that is a crazy experience. But I loved Romania. We did some great missions work with the gypsies. And this was, what we did was we bought a chess set and then everybody took a chess piece. And then as someone took the chess piece, the rest of the group would give them words of encouragement, tell them all the things they saw that week, kind of celebrate that person. So there's just a lot of great tears and hugs and all kinds of stuff. So that's this one, just has a lot of great memories for me. This is, I will tell you what they told me this is. I have no way to verify it. And if you are like a Civil War, like, you know, connoisseur, you like know things, like don't come to me after service because I don't know. But this is what they told me, okay? This is a, what they said was this is a bullet that was unshot from the Civil War. And everybody went, ooh, I know. And then somebody said, yeah, right. I told you, I don't trust it either. But they gave it to me. And I can also tell you this, I have no idea why they gave it to us. I know it had something to do with the sermon, but you fools don't remember my sermon like tomorrow, so I don't remember the sermon from this one, so I don't feel bad about it. I also said, you fools. I feel really bad about that. It's all right. And the reason that means a lot to me is because that was given to me as the first time I was ever a youth pastor. So I took my kids on the first trip I had ever done as a youth pastor, and they had the youth pastors come up and get the bullet. And I just remember that being the very first trip I was like the pastor of. And just like the memories I have, the kids that were in my youth group that I just had these connections with, I was like this little, I was just like this 20-year-old pastor, and I was leading these, you know, some of them were 17, 18 years old, and they're asking me for advice, and I'm like, yeah, that's a great question. I'll get back to you. And that was, so I just have this memory from this time, just being at that trip, understanding what that felt like, and all kinds of stuff. And then this is the last one. This one might be a little controversial. Okay. I need to know, and be brave. Do not let society tear you down if you believe in this, okay? Is there anybody here that likes black licorice? Raise that hand. Raise that hand high. Raise it high. Keep it up. Keep it up. Look around you in judgment at the people without their hands up. Yes. The sophistication of your taste buds is unmatched, okay? All right, you're awesome. We stand together. Don't let the Red Vines people take you out, okay? Don't let them do that to you. Okay. I really like black licorice. It's good. Now listen, I'm gonna preface this because I know how people are. Some of you are gonna go to Winco today and you're gonna buy me black licorice. And I'm going to look at you and I'm going to smile and I'm going to thank you. I'm gonna give you a hug. And then I'm gonna take that black licorice and never eat it, all right? Because I have class when it comes to black licorice, okay? So there is, then that's probably why some of you don't like it, because you tried the red vine stuff and it's disgusting. It's like, I don't know what chewing tobacco tastes like, but that's what I think it tastes like right there. Me and my friend, his name is Pastor Phil. Pastor Phil was the children's pastor. He was like an 80-year-old children's pastor. He looked like he was 60. It was amazing. And we would work together a lot. And one of the things that we did that we kind of bonded over was our love of black licorice. And so we would scour the internet for like the best black licorice that we could find. And we would do like taste tests every Christmas. And people, you know, because everyone who likes black licorice, you're all ashamed, right? You don't want to tell anybody. So we would find them and then we'd bring them into the club. And we would all try these great black licorices. They're awesome. They're amazing. And we would, and so when I left Santa Maria to come here, one of the things Pastor Phil gave me was this shadow box. It's kind of disgusting now, okay? It was really cool when he gave it to me 4 years ago, but licorice doesn't age well. So now there's some of our favorites that are in here of our black licorice that we liked. It doesn't look good now. This is not helping my case at all. There's some of our favorites in here that we would just try. And the reason I keep it is not really because of the black licorice, but it was because of the conversations that me and Pastor Phil had. When we had difficult times in the church, me and Pastor Phil often would speak and talk and like walk through things. He again was like, just was in ministry for like 60 years or something like that. And so for me and him, he would give me just wisdom as a young man and he kind of helped build me up in those ways. And so when I look at this, I don't really think about the black licorice. I think about those conversations and the things that he taught me. And the past, as I look back and I think about, man, I used to have more hair when I got this bullet. I think about that stuff. I think about how the past was great and how it was good. But then there are obviously things in our past that have hurt us, that have affected us, that have kind of maybe beaten us down a little bit. And as we're talking about stress and anxiety, and I was thinking about this message, I kind of saw two things that I saw a lot in culture that people get stressed out about. And the first one is the past. There's a lot of people that stress out about the past, and you kind of fall into one or two categories. The category of people, first category, is the people that wish they could turn back time. Did any of you have ever said, oh, way back when it was so much better, like when you put gas in your car? Do you remember that? Like when it was, right? I'm not that like old, and so I like gas has always been like, I think the first time I saw it was like $1.50, and so like, but some of you are like, it used to be 2 cents, and I was like, that is a lie. Like, and you could buy like a phone for a nickel. Like I was like, context. But there's some of us, right, that you look at the past and you wish things would go back in time. Like you think about the past and it kind of stresses you out in the present because you look back and you're envious of what happened. You're like, man, I'm so, like, it used to be so good back then and things were so much better. And a lot of times what you're doing is you're romanticizing the past. Have you ever done that? You talk about all the good things that happened in the past, and then, you know, you forgot about all those bad things that also were going on. And you romanticize the past so much that it makes you angry and kind of cast some stress and anxiety in the future, in the now, because so much has changed and you don't like the change. And so you try your best to roll back time and to maybe live in the past. You find churches that were like the ones that you remember. You wanna fill your life with people that kind of want to live that the old life. You just don't want change. And so looking back at the past, it's like there's an envy, there's a stress that happens in the now because you're just like, I just want things to go back the way they were. I just want it back like it was. And listen, I'm guilty of that too. Like I moved here in 2020, all right? I sold my house in February 2020. That's gotta be like the worst time to have ever sold your house, February 2020. Like every one of us who did it are like, man, 30 more days, I would have been killing it. Like, you know what I mean? Like there's right? So you can kind of look back and you get envious of it. And it kind of stresses you out in the now because I just want things to go back the way they were. And then there's category two, right? There's those of you that envy the past and then those of you that despise the past. You hate what has happened in the past. You think about the things and the mistakes you've made and you relive those mistakes all the time. And you tell yourself that I can't do things now that I wanted to do because what I've done in the past. I can't become the person I know I was supposed to be because I made too many mistakes in my past. And it's an anchor that's weighing you down and pulling you back. Whether you're envious of the past or whether you despise the past, it's an anchor that's pulling you back, that's stopping you from moving forward because you're telling yourself, either I wish things were the way they were and so I just want to go back there, or I hate how things used to be but I can't do anything about it now, so I guess I'll just have to be this person, this kind of Diet Coke person, that I'm not the real thing because of all the mistakes I've made. And you just kind of, you're pulling yourself back. You're letting your past become an anchor to you. And listen, I understand that your past, listen, and I'm going to tell you something that maybe other people have told you isn't true, but I'm going to tell you it is. Your past does affect you. It will affect you. You cannot run away from that. You cannot run away from that. Your past will affect you. I am a child of divorce. I am a child who saw two angry people all the time. That affects me. It definitely affects me. There are things that I struggled with that other people didn't struggle with because we had different pasts than each other, okay? The past will affect you, but it should never define you. And there's a difference there. The difference with it affecting you and it defining you is when you allow it to define you, it becomes an anchor. It's pulling you back. It's telling you something. It's telling you you can't be what you know God wants you to be because of the mistakes you made. It's telling you that things will never be good again because they'll never be like they used to be, and it's just pulling you back. But the past should not be an anchor. The past should be a stepping stone. It should be something that you can stand on. It shouldn't be an anchor pulling you back. It should be a stone that helps build the foundation for the rest of your life. In fact, will you turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3? And I'll kind of set this up a little bit. We're only going to show one verse on the screen, but I want to kind of tell you about Philippians chapter 3 before I do that. Paul's whole point of this chapter is to encourage people to walk toward Christ. I've talked to you about that a lot, right? It's the little steps of obedience that make you more and more like Jesus. And Paul's talking about that. He goes, you want to know what I'm walking toward? I'm walking toward becoming more like Christ. And he's saying, I haven't even got there yet. Now listen, earlier he gives all of his credentials of what he's done. He goes, I've done this and this and this and this and this. And he goes, but I haven't attained anything yet. So Paul has a great past. There are things that he's done that are awesome, that are great. There's churches he's planted. There are people he's raised up as disciples. He has saved people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's telling you, he's saying, listen, I have great things that I've done in the past. But Paul also is the writer of Philippians. He's the same Paul who was Saul in Acts, whose past also consists of sending people to their death because of the very faith that he now proclaims. He has that in his past as well. So he kind of has both of these things. He has really great things that have happened in the past, and he's had really awful things that he's done in the past. And so he lays all that out about, hey, these are the things that I've done. This is the ultimate goal, to become more like Jesus. And then he says this in Philippians 3:13. That's what I want to just kind of look and share with you today. He goes, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. What he's saying laid hold of is, I haven't regarded myself as attaining the goal, the future. I haven't become as much like Christ as God would want me to be. But then he says this, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. He's saying, my past is this. Listen, there's been some great things in my past. There's been some not so great things in my past. But this is what I do. I forget all about it, and I focus on where I am right now, and I'm moving forward. He's saying, I'm not going to allow my past to be an anchor. I'm going to allow it to be the stepping stone that I stand on. Can you just do this for me? For those of you that got saved later in life, go ahead, just raise your hand really quick. Don't be ashamed. Just saved later in life. Awesome, man. So cool. And put those hands down. It's awesome. Put those hands down. Now, if you grew up in church and you know who like DC Talk is, and you're my age because that's what your mama made you listen to. So that's Life, baby, and Newsboys, and Rebecca St. James, and all those things, right? If you're that person, okay, you grew up in church, you've known church your whole life, you got saved when you were five, all that kind of stuff. Go ahead, raise that hand. Raise your hand. Okay. Now, this is what I need to tell you. The first group that raised their hands, this is what I've noticed. is some of you are really ashamed to tell your story. You're ashamed to tell people like us, hey, this is what I was before Jesus. Now, not all of you, but some of you. You're ashamed of that story. You're ashamed of that past. In fact, you're still, even though you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you've become a new creation, you see your past still affect you. And so you think the affect of your past is a definition. So you're like, I'm a Christian, but I'll never be because I did all this stuff. And so you don't tell us your story. You don't say what God brought you out of. And can I encourage you, man, your testimony means so much, and it means so much to people like me who raised our hand second. Because I know that your heart for someone like me was not to live your same story, amen? You were like, hey, don't make the same mistakes. If you're the person, can I tell you one of the dumbest things I've ever heard someone say? And if you've said it, I'm not saying you're dumb, I'm just saying what you said was dumb, okay? Just so you know, don't be offended. But one of the things I just can't understand is people are like, I just need to make that mistake on my own. And I'm just like, really? Like, you want to cause yourself? That dude, like, just tried to tell you what not to do, and you're just like, nah, I don't care. Like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like, hey, don't touch the stove because it's hot. And you're like, I think I'll do it anyways. Like, that, like, come on, man. And so I love stories from people that are older than me that have been through some things that are different than me, because guess what? I stand on those stories. I choose to allow those stories to affect me. I choose to allow those testimonies to teach me something that I haven't learned in my own life, in my own experience, in my own perspective. I'm choosing to listen. So if you keep your story to yourself, then the people like me who maybe have grown up in church, we don't really get to see some of that stuff because we didn't live that same life. So we want to see, okay, wait, does God really just change your life? Because my life's kind of been kind of the same for a long time. Like, he really just comes in and changes your life. It's this amazing, like when Pastor Jim tells his story and he goes, one day I was this and the next day I hated that. I was like, I don't think I've ever had that experience, because I grew up in church and I just slowly obeyed Jesus, and that was just kind of what I did. And so when I get to hear crazy miracle stories like that, it makes my faith deeper. So do not be afraid to share your testimony. Do not be afraid to share your story. Your story should be something that people can stand on and say, I can't believe God did that in you. That's amazing. Some people tell me their stories and I look at them and I'm like, I can't even imagine you doing any of those things, all right? You're just so sweet. You used to do, I can't even imagine. And it doesn't like make me think they're lying. It makes me just understand, man, that is, you can't tell me God's not real when I see a story like that. And there's something that happens there. So do not be afraid to share your story. And for those, just really quick, for those of you that raised your hand, you said you grew up in church, we got our own stories. Don't be afraid to share those either. Don't be like, well, I didn't really go through too much. No, you share your story and let the Lord do the work. Don't be all, you know, ooh, I don't like that. So this is what I want you to write down in your notes if you haven't done it already. Point number one, build on your past, but don't dwell on it. Build on your past, but don't dwell on it. Build on your past, but don't dwell on it. It should be a stepping stone for you to stand up and move forward. It should be forgotten in the sense that it shouldn't have the definition on you anymore, but it shouldn't be something that wears you down or tears you down. It should be something that builds you up. Here's a quick analogy just in case you ever forget. All of you, most of you probably have a car. What's the smallest mirror in your car? The rear view mirror, right? If you have like a fancy car with a big screen and you're like, well, actually, like, I don't have that car yet, so chill. Rear view mirror, right? What's the biggest window in your car? The windshield. Why? Because what's going on in front of you is so much more important than what's going on behind you. What's going on behind you, you can build on, but you can't change it. What's happening in front of you, you can allow God to turn the direction of your life. So every time you hop in your car and you start letting your past affect you, think about the rearview mirror. What's more important, what's behind me or what's in front of me? It's what's in front of me. Now, all that kind of sounds like a self-help talk about goals, right? Because maybe you're thinking, well, the next thing Pastor Charlie is going to tell me to do is to write down my 5-year plan. Where do I want to be in 5 years? And you know, what about this? Who do I want to be? And write, you know, I'm going to write a dear so-and-so to me. I'm going to send it back to me in 10 years. And I'm going to see where I ended up. We're not going to do any of that. In fact, I think that the church and me as a youth pastor, this is something that I made a mistake on, is I kept telling people about what God had for them so far away. Like, I was like, hey, future, think about where you're going to be. Think about the kids you're going to have. Think about the job that God's calling. I would talk about calling all the time. What's God calling you to do? What's God calling you to do? What's God calling you to do? And I would throw future out there so much that they began to romanticize what that future would look like. And they're like, yeah, I'll have, you know, two houses. I'll rent one out. And like, you can barely get an apartment, bro. And I'll have, like, you know, we'll have two kids, one boy, one girl. Like, it's your choice. You romanticize all that, right? And the future. We talk about the future all the time in America. We're always talking about the future, what's your goals, where you're going, where you're heading. And some of that is good, okay? Some of that is good. Because I like to say, this is a quote that my senior pastor taught me. He said, God can't guide a missile on the launch pad. So you do need to move forward. Even Paul says that. Hey, there needs to be a moving forward. But then I want you to show you what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6. Go ahead, just turn there really quick. Matthew chapter 6, if you struggle with anxiety on the daily basis, Matthew 6, 25 through 34 should be your daily Bible reading. Pastor Jim talked about it a few weeks ago, talked about this verse. This is the verse that maybe you've heard before. This is, why do you stress? Like, don't you see the birds in the air and the lilies in the field? They have their food, they're clothed. Why do you worry? Don't you know God loves you so much more than that? It's those verses, okay? So you should read that daily. But I want you to just pay attention to Matthew 6:34, the very last verse in this kind of encompassing of stress and anxiety. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself, because each day has enough trouble of its own. After Jesus just talked about, hey, I'm always going to provide for you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to do this for you. But I don't need you worrying about tomorrow. Basically, I don't need you to worry about how that's going to happen. I don't need you to take your mind and to place it so far in advance that you're not paying attention to the today. And that's the second thing I want you to write down. Second point is this. First point, build on your past, but don't dwell on it. Second point is plan for your future, but don't dwell on it. We have a lot of future dwellers in today's society. We talk about what's gonna happen. Well, I'm gonna get here. I'm gonna be this. I'm gonna be that. Some of it is stuff God has told you. He's told you, hey, you're gonna be a pastor. Hey, you're gonna be this. Hey, I have great plans for you. We have things that God's given us, but we live 10 years in the future instead of living in the now. We are not planning for our future. We are dwelling on our future. And what happens then is that everything that happens now doesn't seem that great because, well, I'm not at the future yet. And when what we really want is for it to happen really quick, right? We want a microwave success. We want to, like, one day just be, you know, the intern and the next day be the CEO. Like, that's, like, kind of our mindset, right? I mean, we how many of you have tried to lose weight and, like, you work out, like, religiously for, like, 2 weeks and you weigh more than you did 2 weeks ago? Have you ever had that happen? And you're like, it's not working. I have a different body than the rest of the world. Like, you tell all kinds of stuff like that. It's great. That's what we all tell ourselves. And then we eat all the cookies and it's a good day. But right, we don't like the idea of work. We don't like the idea of every day making a decision. We like the idea of having a goal that is supposed to be far away and making it happen quickly. And Jesus is right now, thousands of years before, he's saying, hey, I don't need you worrying about tomorrow. There's a great book, and there's a quote from this book. This is a book called The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. Has anybody ever heard of The Screwtape Letters? It's one of the best books. If you haven't read this book, I need you to write it down, put it in your phone, and grab it in the next couple weeks. This is a great book, easy read, but great theological truths. And the book is about, it's C.S. Lewis, a Christian writer, who's telling, he's like, I need to teach people about God, but I want to do it in a creative way. So he wrote a book that is letters between two demons. Okay, an older demon named Screwtape and a younger demon named Wormwood. And what the older demon is telling the younger demon, he's like, he's giving him instructions on how to turn his assignment, the person, away from the Father. He's like, this is what you can do to get him to not follow, he calls him the enemy, which is God. He's saying, this is what you can do to get him away from the enemy. And in this book, he has this quote, and I want to show it to you. This is Screwtape writing a letter to Wormwood. There is nothing like suspense and anxiety for barricading a human's mind against the enemy, which is God. He's basically saying this. He goes, Suspense and anxiety is the best way to get people to not focus on God. Just make them stressed out and anxious. They don't focus on God. He wants men to be concerned with what they do, and our business is to keep them thinking about what will happen to them. How many of you have ever gotten stressed out about maybe what's going to happen in our country in the next like 10 years? Go ahead, raise your hand. It's okay. You've sent me the videos. It's fine. It's good. Youth, and I understand the thought process. It's like, hey, we got to do something now because we don't want this to happen. But I just want to encourage you in this, is that when we allow that stuff to take hold of our hearts and our minds, it's actually not helping. It's barricading the Father from telling us, hey, I actually don't need you to worry about what's going to happen to you. I need you to worry about what I need you to do. I don't need you to worry about what might happen to you in a far off land, whether good, like the future that we hope for, or bad, like the future that we're fearful of. I just need both of you to focus on what do I need to do today. And that's your third point. Be present in the moment. Matthew 6:34 is telling us, hey, you're so stressed out about how you're going to become successful or what might happen if things don't go your way. You're stressed out about what might happen to you. I need you to be present in the moment so that I can tell you what you do need to do today. When I was researching, this is one of the commentaries, the expositor's commentary said, today's grace is sufficient only for today and should not be wasted on tomorrow. If tomorrow brings new trouble, there will be new grace to meet it. I'll give you the real practical way I'm applying this to my life right now. People ask me, they're like, hey, Charlie, how do you feel about being the new lead pastor? Are you going to be ready? Are you ready right now? Do you know what my response is most of the time, if not all the time? I'll be ready when it happens. You're asking me if I'm ready today. It's not happening today. So I don't need to worry about it today. I'll be ready when it happens. Some of you are so stressed out about a meeting that you have to have in a week. Oh, that meeting, it's going to go like this. You need to step away and just say, what do I have to do today? Because I'll be ready for the meeting in a week when it happens. If I do what I need to do today, I'll be ready for the meeting in a week when it happens. I'm stressed out because I got to go see family and I'm not sure how I'm going to react. Okay, don't stress about it. Do what you need to do today. And when that time comes, you'll be ready for when it happens. If you're so stressed out that all you're thinking about is there and what's going to happen then you're not going to focus on what you need to do today, which means then you really won't be ready for when it comes. But if you just take the time and say, God, what do you have me doing today? Then when tomorrow comes, new grace will come with it and you'll be ready for it. But it's not just, and listen, I'm talking about being present in the moment. I'm not just talking about being present in the time, the moment. I also want to encourage you this. I need us to be better at being present in this place in the moment, in the physical arena that you're in. Because what I've seen is a lot of people get stress and anxiety about things that are happening far off in other lands. And listen, there are some great, I'm not trying to say that like, don't pay attention to Revelation or anything like that. But I'll also tell you this, the writer of Revelation didn't write it to stress you out, okay? Does everybody know that, right? He actually didn't write it to be like, and you should read this and then really stress out that it all might happen tomorrow. Like that was not his point. His point was actually to give us hope, to give us encouragement. And so when you see things happening far off across the world, we're actually cheating the people that live in our very homes because we're so stressed out about things that we cannot control. I love C.S. Lewis. You're going to get another C.S. Lewis quote, okay? And you're going to be sick of it, but you got to deal with it for like the next 30 years. So just go with it, all right? This is what he says in Mere Christianity. It is one of the evils of rapid diffusion of news that the sorrows of all the world come to us every morning. Do you know when he wrote that? Like 1940 or 1950. There ain't no social media then. And he's still writing about, you know what's terrible? It's when the rapid news comes to us every morning, these things of sorrow. And then he says this is his challenge to the reader. I think each village was meant to feel pity for its own sick and poor, whom it can help, and I doubt if it's the duty of any private person to fix his mind on ills which he cannot help. That's a challenge, right? Because, man, we like to look at things that we don't have any control over. We look at people, we look at news stories, we consume social media so much, it stresses us out. We don't have any control over anything that happens there. And yet we ignore the things that are happening right around us. And he finishes with this. This may even become an escape from the works of charity we really can do to those we know. He's saying this. He's challenging the reader. He's saying, listen, some of you are paying attention to things you can't control just so you don't have to pay attention to the things you can. If that made you go, ow, like, that's okay. It's okay to go, ow, in church. It's supposed to kind of grow you. We're paying attention to things we can't control so that we can ignore the things we can. And if you're like, but there's really nothing that bad going on here, you're probably right in the sense of, like, comparatively to the rest of the world. Yeah, we live in a great nation. I love this city. I know some of you are like, I need to get out of here. I don't know what your problem is. It's awesome. I've been to other places. It's pretty good. But what you're really doing, well, let me tell you what, we have youth kids that need father figures in their life. And you're like, oh, but I'm 70. I don't care. Well, you think they care? I'll be honest. I'm the kid that didn't grow up with a grandfather. I never had a grandfather in my life. Didn't know either of my grandfathers. They both died before I was born. You don't think that another kid would be like me? Maybe needs an old guy to come around, tell him, hey, it's going to be okay, bud. You don't think that there are girls in there that need good mentors in their life because the people that they're getting their information from aren't super healthy? You don't think there's little kids in there that come from foster homes, that come from abuse, that come from all different kinds of stuff? My wife works in Kidsmen. I'll tell you what, it ain't all angels over there, okay? And that's not your kid, though. Your kid is an angel, just someone else's kid. It's never your kid, don't worry. You're telling me that you can't step up? Some of you are on your phone so much, scrolling. You can't see what's going on with your own kid in your own home. And you need to learn to turn this off. And then you wonder why your kid's on their phone all the time. You got to learn how to turn this off. Your body isn't made to consume that much energy. Do you know that? That many pictures, that much stuff, it's not made for that. The rapid diffusion, it's not made. Your body is made to know the people around you, the people that love, that you love with everything that they care for you. Your body is to the community around you, your neighbors, the people sitting next to you in church. That's what you're made for. And we're so stressed out about things that we honestly don't know about. And you're like, no, I do know about it. I have my podcaster. Don't do that. Don't send it to me either. Like, it's fine. Like, we're okay. But it's, those are things we can't control or have any control over. But man, I could affect someone's life right here. Some of you have family members that you haven't talked to in a little bit that God's been telling you, hey, call them. But you've been so stressed out about what's going on 2,000 miles away, you haven't even bothered to call. It's time we begin to be present, not just in the today, but also in the place that God has for us. And I know some of you really want to get out. I'm telling you, have a heart like Esther, who in the middle of possibly being killed was told, maybe you're here for such a time as this. And I know that you probably wanted, I just want to get out of here. I want be here, because maybe you're here for such a time as this. Maybe that's why you're in this city. Maybe that's why you're in this church. I definitely know that's why you're in your family. You're here for such a time as this. So I'm going to give you 1 minute to ask God this one question. What do you want me to do today? Go ahead, bow your head, close your eyes. I just want you to allow yourself to have a moment with Jesus. What do you want me to do today? What is it? Don't worry about 5 years from now. Don't worry about that meeting. What is he asking you to do today? feeling the Lord impress upon me that someone needs to call someone and apologize today. Like, that's what you're feeling. You're feeling like today is the day that you just need to call that person. And you might not even feel like you need to. You're like, no, I don't have anything to, I'm telling you, for whatever reason, you're feeling like you're supposed to call and apologize today and start mending that bridge. I don't know what he's telling you. My only encouragement is don't wait too long after the service to do whatever it is that dropped in your heart. And for some of you, it might not have been a thing. It just might have been, hey, just be in my presence. Trust in me. Walk. I'll give you things as you walk and you go about life. It could be just that. So don't feel like that God doesn't want to talk to you. Sometimes his speaking is just like, hey, be in my presence. But before we continue on, every head bowed, every eye closed, I do want to give an opportunity, because if just by any chance there's someone in here that you are not following Jesus, maybe you used to and you don't anymore, or you've never made that decision, but as we're sitting here silent, that's what you feel. You feel like, I need to come home, or I need to find him, or I need to know what this peace is that people talk about. If that's you today, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. So all I'm going to ask you to do, because every head bowed, every eye closed, I just need you to open your eyes, look up with your head, and just stare at me just for a little bit until I see you. I see you. If you lifted your head, and even if I didn't get to say I see you, because sometimes, be honest, my eyes aren't the greatest all the time. So, but if you raise your head and you looked up here, I just need you to repeat this prayer with me, with the whole congregation. We're all going to say this together. But you say this from the bottom of your soul. Father, forgive me of my sin. Jesus, be the Savior of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Comfort me. Counsel me. Convict me. Help me obey you so that I can become more like Jesus. Father, thank you so much for those that raise their hand, the heads. Father, thank you for the life that you're giving them right now. God, I pray that right now, Holy Spirit, you be speaking to them. God, as you're speaking to all of us about the things you have us doing today. God, that we wouldn't get stressed out about what the future might hold. That God, the only thing we'd be worried about is what it is that you have for us right now. And worry is even a wrong word we'd use there. That God, we would just be concerned. God, we'd care for not the things that we have no control over, but God, the things that we can affect, the things that you're calling us to do in the here and the now. So it's in your name we pray. Amen. Will you guys repeat after me? Lord, keep me outward focused and fill me with your Spirit. Give me the boldness to share the gospel with others and open up opportunities to minister outside the church, because I see what I'm looking for. And make me into a generous person like you. God bless you guys. We'll see you next Sunday.
If you need prayer or dedicated your life to Christ, please reach out to us on our social media, on Facebook and Instagram at NBCCNorco, or email us at hello@nbcc.com. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to share and subscribe to this podcast.